Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running down. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm not a classic of our own. I'm too blessed
to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one-minded. I'm the one-minded to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey,
let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny and food in a Dutch pot. I'm from the news,
praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I'm just so blessed that you have decided to listen to the Word of God tonight and to study with me. I pray that you would truly be blessed on tonight as we study the Word of God together. We have been studying in this new year. We have been studying having purpose. Having purpose. And tonight, as we study together, our subtopic below having purpose, or actually your life has purpose. This is part 3 of your life has purpose. Our subtopic for tonight is having discipline, because when we have discipline, discipline will actually determine our destiny. And so I want to encourage you to call a friend, let them know that we're on the ear, and let us study the Word of God together. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we truly give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Lord God, for the sunshine and for the rain and snow or ice or heat or cold, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we just give you thanks that we're still in the land of the living and that we're able just to praise your name and give you glory and honor, O Lord. Lord God, I pray for all those that will listen or hear this broadcast that you would truly bless them, that you would keep them in the palm of your hands. I thank you, Lord God, for your sons and your daughters that are laboring out in the field, Lord God, that are truly praying for people and laying hands on them and they get delivered and set free. I truly thank you, Lord, because you are truly good to us, and we're just so thankful for this privilege to be able to serve you. Pray, oh God, that you would use me for your glory and your honor. And, oh God, bless your people everywhere, Lord, in the north, south, east, and west. Bless them, Lord God. Keep them in the palm of your hands. And, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, as I mentioned to you, I'm so glad that you're studying with me. I want to talk to you a little bit about discipline. We started a 21-day fast, and I don't know if you've ever fasted, but if I could mention to you the various types of fasts, there is a total fast, which is a regular fast that someone can do for one day or several days. Some people do the 21 days, which is what Daniel did, or they might do the 40 days, which is what Jesus did. But usually if they're doing 21 days, perhaps they might do a half-day fast where you skip breakfast and lunch and eat dinner, or some people fast from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., or some people just give up something for 21 days. So however you do it, you know, just please join us in doing something for the next few days, really turning your plate down or just giving up something for a few days and really dedicating yourself to the Lord or rededicating yourself to the Lord. You can do so by praying and studying the Bible. We're actually starting in the book of Genesis, studying the Bible, but you can start anywhere that you would like in the Bible. But just get into the Word and pray and seek the face of the Lord, because the Lord wants us to commit or recommit ourselves to Him and to understand that He is calling us for such a time as this to draw close to Him and to be a light to those in darkness. Also, the 21-day fast, is many people, when they do 21 days, they do a Daniel fast, which means that you eat only fruits and vegetables for 21 days. And if you can afford to buy the fruits and the vegetables and do that for 21 days, then by all means, that would be a blessing for you to be able to do that fast. And of course, if you're only doing one day, then it would be good for you to have, you know, no food at all, but perhaps just to drink water to keep your body hydrated. And of course, whatever type of fast you do, you should drink lots of water and keep yourself hydrated. And of course, if your health does not allow you to fast, then by all means, just give up something for the 21 days or for 40 days, because we want you to stay nice and healthy. And so, what are the reasons that Christians fast? Christians fast to gain humility. They fast that their eyes are open to spiritual revelation to God, speaking to them or revealing things to them. They fast to just to gain more anointing. In other words, perhaps they felt as if they had not been spending enough time in prayer and in seeking the face of God for a while, and so they just want God to just give them a refreshing. Christians also fast to break the satanic temptations. In other words, sometimes you're tempted just to go back and do some of the things that you used to do, and it's just been laying heavy on your heart to draw close to God, to break some of those temptations that are coming on you, and also to break old habits. Sometimes we have fallen into complacency and we have developed some old habits that have just come upon us, and we just need to break some of those old habits that, and ask God to give us new, better habits. And also Christians fast to just to draw closer to God and to really be able to sense His presence in our midst at all times. Also, sometimes Christians fast to get to know themselves better, to understand where their weaknesses are so that God can give them strength to continue the journey. And sometimes people fast to get direction. In other words, they have been praying for a long time to God, for God to give them direction. And sometimes people fast just to get spiritual breakthroughs. And someone has even suggested that sometimes people fast for more time, as in Hezekiah seeking God when he was sick unto death, and he sought God, and God afforded him 15 more years on his life. And so there are a variety of reasons that people fast. I want to look at one particular scripture that we use many, many times when we are fasting. It is a scripture that we refer to over and over again, and it is Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5. And it says, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" Verse 6. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. And so we see there, friend, in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5 and verse 6, that when you fast, you should expect something to happen. When you seek to draw close to God, you should expect something to happen. We expect that the bands of wickedness would be broken. We expect that if you're burdened down with heaviness, that by the time you finish fasting and praying, that those bands of heaviness would be broken off of you. We expect that if you are oppressed in your mind, or if someone you love is oppressed, that when you pray and fast, we expect those things to be broken off of your loved one. So, dear friend, if you have never fasted before, whether it is 1 day, 3 days, 21 days, or even 40 days, if you have never fasted before, I want to encourage you to fast. Like I said, you could do a half day, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., or skip breakfast and lunch and eat dinner, or just give up something if you cannot fast because of your health or the medication that you're taking. But as I said in our last lesson, in order to reap, you must sow something. And so I want to encourage you to seek the face of God through fasting and prayer, because I know already that your life has purpose. Your life does have purpose, and that God wants to direct your step so that you can truly understand that He is calling you for such a time as this to truly be a light in the midst of darkness. And so let's look some more at discipline, at discipline. And as I stated at the beginning of these lessons on purpose, I would be looking and researching at different outlines on purpose. And, of course, this one that we're referring to tonight is Discipline Determines Destiny. It's by Dr. Charles Stanley. I'm loosely using a little bit of his outline. And, of course, you know that when I use outlines, I tend to just hit them here and there, just as a frame of reference. But basically, the bottom line is, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should want to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. And if we talk about having self-discipline, because in order to understand our true purpose, we must understand that we must develop self-discipline. And self-discipline, we could also refer to as personal training or developing self-control and character. In other words, we should develop a life that is pleasing to God in such a way that it results in an orderly and an efficient life. So if your life is not efficient or orderly, then we know that you need to go back and work on that and really ask God to help you to get your life in order. Because those who have undisciplined lives, they tend to live very ungodly lives. But those who have order in their lives, they tend to live lives that are pleasing to God. And so in acknowledging that your life has purpose, the first thing that you've got to do is pray and ask God to help you to develop self-control and order in your life. Before we even turn to the book of Hebrews, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at the 24th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So, Paul, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, what he said was that the life that we were living he could actually compare it to those who are running a race. And, of course, we're all familiar with the Olympics because the Olympics travels from, you know, place to place and different cities get a chance to host it around the world. And so we're all familiar with the Olympics and the fact that one of the races or one of the games that are played in the Olympics is that of running, whether it's a relay race or a short or a long race, but racing is one of the things, you know, running to win. And so Paul refers to the fact that when a person is in a race, 10 people might run in that race, but only one actually wins. There has to be one winner of that race. And so when a person strives for mastery, he is temperate in all things. In other words, he's going to strive to balance or to pace himself. He's not going to overdo anything because in order to win the race, he must balance his life to be self-disciplined in order to win the race. And so we see that they strive to win a crown, a prize that is corruptible, meaning that it will perish with the winner. The winner, when it's time to go home to be with God, the winner cannot take that earthly prize with them to heaven. And so Paul says to the church, if a person would strive for something that they can't even go to heaven or bring to heaven with them, even so much more, we should run to get a prize that is incorruptible. So we must discipline ourselves in such a way that we actually attain heaven, that we actually make it into that heavenly place. We should understand that our life does have purpose, and that purpose is to win that heavenly prize, to be able to live in such a way that we are disciplined, that we are holy, that we are godly, and that God is able to welcome us one day into heaven and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the ear. So Paul says, as Christians, we should realize that we're not running uncertainly like those in a race because they don't know who is going to win. But the bottom line is that when we run in the race for Christ, all of us are winners. And so we are not just beating the ear. We're not just running for the sake of running. But when we serve Christ, we know that we have that ultimate goal that all of us will get that prize. All of us will attain that prize of going to heaven and being with the Lord forevermore. Look at verse 27. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was always very concerned, dear friend. Although he was one of the greatest apostles, Paul was always concerned that he disciplined his life in such a way that after he had preached to many, he himself would also make it into heaven. And so I want to encourage you that in keeping with the understanding that your life has purpose, that you understand that in everything that you do, you should live a disciplined and an orderly life so that your life can and will be pleasing to God. And so if we look again at Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at the first verse, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Dear friend, let us lay aside everything. Everything that would hinder you, everything that would stop you from doing what God has called you to do, lay aside. Your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. And you want to live it in such a disciplined way that one of these days God can welcome you in and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God wants to welcome you in to his presence, dear friend. God wants to welcome you into his peace. So the Bible says, lay aside, although we're compassed about with so many people that are witnesses, so many people that can talk about Jesus, we must personalize our walk. We must understand that we must lay aside every weight, anything that's bothering you, anything that's burdening you down, anything that would get you discouraged, anything that would make you feel like giving up. You need to get rid of it. You need to lay it down. You need to put it aside, because God is calling you to do greater things than you have ever done before. This is a season where it is in the atmosphere, dear friend, that Jesus is coming again soon. We're living in the greatest time right now, where God is going to reveal great things to us. He is opening up the windows of heaven, and he is truly blessing. He is looking for folks that will be faithful, that will walk in truth and honesty, that will walk with the word of God hidden in their heart. Jesus is truly calling you, dear friend, to love him with all your heart and all your soul. He wants to have that close relationship, that close walk with you. I want you to lay aside every weight, everything that burdened you down last year, everything that you have been carrying and you've been stressed out about. Don't be stressed out, dear friend. Understand that God has already made a way for you. Understand that he's already blessing you right now. Understand that he's already helping you right now. Don't be stressed out about little things. Let God handle the little things. Don't be stressed out about big things. Let God handle the big things. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and I want you to know that your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. This is just the beginning of the great things that God wants to do in your life, and don't allow the enemy to get you so boggled down in the cares of this world that you forget that your life has purpose. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. I'm still in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Oh, I just, I don't know about you, but it is so easy, dear friend, for anyone to fall into sin. And because we're surrounded by it. We're surrounded by people who don't want to discipline their lives, who don't want to lay aside, idle talk and idle thinking and what have you. And it's so easy to get caught up in idle behavior and idle talk. But God wants us to discipline ourselves in such a way that when someone begins to talk foolishness, you can stop them right there and let them know that you don't want to be engaged in that. When someone tries to pull you into foolish or idle behavior, when I say idle behavior, I'm referring to doing things that you know are disobeying the laws of God, disobeying what God told you to do. You ought to be able to stop them in their tracks and say, no, I'm not going to do that. You can do that if you want, but I'm not going to do that, because God is speaking to me and he's letting me know that he has called me for a higher purpose than that. God has great things in store for me. Your life has purpose, dear friend. Your life has purpose, and God wants you to live a disciplined life. He wants you to live a disciplined life. The Bible says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So God has placed us on this journey, and we must run it with a pure heart, with a good attitude. We must run it, just keep it in mind that the Lord is directing us. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the one that we are looking towards. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one that started us on this journey. And Jesus is the one that is going to take us through. Jesus is the one that's going to help us. When we have faith, it means that we stand firmly on our resolve. We stand firmly on what we believe. We don't have to see it to believe it, but we believe it because God has told us in his word about the promises of God, and we stand firmly on those promises, knowing that God has already ordained it so that we should be like Jesus, that we should fulfill the call of God in our lives. Remember, dear friend, I said before and I'll say it again, your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself, he did not mind what he had to go through to die on the cross for us. And even now he's at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, praying on our behalf. Dear friend, your life has purpose. Jesus is praying on your behalf right now. Jesus is interceding on your behalf right now. Jesus wants to help you right now. The Bible says that Jesus himself endured contradictions of sinners against himself. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So I want to remind you to be strong. I want to remind you to hold on because your life does have purpose. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't faint. Don't get tired in what you're doing. Why? Because Jesus himself has already endured the cross for you so that you don't have to get tired, so that you don't have to fall down, so that you don't have to get stressed out. Why? Because he has already borne all of that for you. Dear friend, discipline is a very important part of your Christian walk. It is a very important part of your Christian walk. So if you haven't learned to set aside time to pray, set aside time to pray. If you haven't learned to set aside time to study, do so by all means, because God is calling you for such a time as this. And remember also that when God calls you to live a holy and a pure life, that at times he might have to chasten you. He might have to correct you. Verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, the only way that you will hear and understand that God is correcting you about something is through discipline. Because when you discipline yourself to pray and to seek God's face, you'll begin to hear the voice of God more clearly. And when you hear the voice of God more clearly, then you'll be able to obey the voice of God. God wants you to discipline yourself. Now, why is discipline necessary? Discipline is necessary because self-discipline is essential to godliness. And unless we submit our natural desires to the control of the Spirit, they will dominate our lives. So in other words, if you don't learn to discipline yourself, then the flesh, your flesh, your physical body will be telling you what to do. And we don't want that to happen. We want it so that you are being led of the Holy Spirit. We want it to be so that you can hear the audible voice of God talking to you, telling you, yes, do this, or no, don't do that. We want you to be able to pray until something happens. You know, whoever coined that phrase, push, I really, really like it. Pray until something happens. Push. In other words, push your way through. Discipline requires push. Discipline requires not giving up just because you don't feel like praying or you don't feel like doing or studying, but actually getting up sometimes and praying when you don't feel like it or studying when you don't feel like it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, but as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God truly wants you, dear friend, to be holy because he is holy. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, you can't live holy, you can't live righteous. And I beg to differ with you, dear friend. You can live a godly life in this present world. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know, there are some things that people will say to us, and they'll, you know, say all type of things to us, Some of it is cultural, some of it is doctrinal, but I want you to understand that you need to stick to the Word of God and don't just do things just because other people are doing it, but understand the Word of God for yourself, study it, pray over it, and do what the Bible says. It says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. What does that mean? When a person exercises, what do? They work their limbs. Sometimes they work their limbs so much that they are extremely tired. Sometimes the very next day they're in lots of pain. Why? Because they overdid it. You know, you can overdo exercise and be in pain the next day, but after a while your limbs get used to it. They get used to you exercising. You know, I'm not an exercise person, but I'm trying. I'm trying to discipline myself to exercise, and, you know, when I'm feeling in top-notch shape, I do it every day, and when I'm a little bit under the weather because of, you know, the weather changing or what have you, the weather flipping back and forth like it is right now in Florida, one day it's warm, one day it's cold, and so, you know, sometimes, you know, my sinuses, you know, have me stuffed up or what have you, and I'm not feeling like exercising. But I can tell, though, that once I'm consistent with exercise, that at the very, very beginning, my limbs are sort of, you know, ready to hit me, you know, sort of like, what are you doing? Why are you exercising? Why are you putting us through this pain? But then at the end of the week, if I'm consistent for that entire week, I see that after a while, I'm not feeling that way because my limbs are now used to the exercise. And I want you to understand, dear friend, that when you learn how to discipline yourself, to study the Word of God, to pray, to seek the face of God. At first, it might seem difficult. At first, it might seem challenging. You know, it's just like when I started doing this radio broadcast. You know, it was challenging at first to discipline myself, to do it, to get on the air regularly and what have you. And you know, 1 month I did have a lot of cancellations. And that was also due to my job, getting home late and what have you. But I find that as I discipline myself to just continue doing this broadcast, that it's getting easier and easier to keep this appointment with my listeners, to be able to get on the air and study the Word of God with you. You see, anything that is worth accomplishing might seem painful at first, but once you continue it, you will see that the end result will be victory. Once again, dear friend, your life has purpose. Your life does have purpose, and part of your life having purpose is learning how to be disciplined. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and the last part of verse 7, it says, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise, the word exercise, never means inactivity. Whenever you see the word exercise, it never means inactivity. Anytime you see the word exercise, it's always going to mean do something. Even if you are studying English grammar and you see that they have put some exercises at the end or of each chapter, or they have mixed it in between the chapter, what it means is that it is something for you to do. And so when the Bible says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, what it is saying is that you must get up and actually do something. You must get up and actually pray. You must get up and actually witness to someone about Jesus. You must get up and actually go to church. You must get up and actually go to prayer meeting or fasting or whatever it is that your church has, Bible study. You must get up and do something. You know, and I've always used the comparison of someone trying to find a job, that if you truly want a job, you must get up and do something. You cannot find a job sitting on your couch doing nothing at all, but you must get up and actually look at some ads or look at some things online or post your resume online or send out some resumes to some companies. Something has to be done. And so if you want to be godly, dear friend, to fulfill the fact that your life has purpose, you must be willing to get up and say, Lord, I understand. I truly understand that my life has purpose and that I must begin to discipline myself through prayer, through fasting, through seeking your face. I must begin to study the word of God, and I must understand that I can live a godly life. I can be delivered, you know, from various things, whatever it is that you are going through, whether it is bad habits of lying or stealing or you know, committing all kinds of sexual sins, whatever it is that you know, you have a problem with. You know, all of us have our vices. You know, I'm a witness. All of us have our vices, whatever it happens to be. There is always something in our lives that we can do better in. There's always something in our lives that we can say, Lord, please, I need you to take this out of my life. There's always something. None of us are perfect. I've said it over and over. Those who are perfect are in heaven already. So the rest of us have something to work on. And when I tell you again that your life has purpose, I am sincere in saying to you that God loves you very much. He cares about you. He cares about every area of your life. And what he wants to do is help you to get your life in order so that you can truly be that great woman of God that God is calling, or that great man of God that God is calling. Because he is calling those of us who are willing to listen and who are willing to allow the Spirit of God to draw us in. The Bible tells us how much God loves us and how much he cares about us. And so for tonight, dear friend, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to sign off perhaps a little bit earlier tonight. I'm going to stop teaching, but I hope that you've enjoyed listening to having discipline, having purpose, understanding that to truly fulfill the call of God in your life, you've got to ask him to show you how to live a disciplined life. I'm the first to tell you that I am working on it. I'm working on it. I am not as disciplined in all areas of my life as I would like. I still know that I need to be more disciplined in handling my money. I still know that I need to be more disciplined in prayer and Bible study. There's so many things that I know that I can work on, that I know that I can commit to God even more. And dear friend, if you are like me, that you're saying to the Lord, Lord, even now, even this year, I would like to commit more of my heart to you. I would like to commit more of my life to you. I want to encourage you. Don't just say it, but do it, dear friend. Actions speak louder than words. And when you say things to people, they might not believe it. But when you do it, oh, that's a whole other thing altogether. So I want to encourage you, make this that season that you step out in faith and do what God is calling you to do. God is calling us to do great things for him, and this is your season to step out and allow God to bless you and allow God to use you for his glory. And dear friend, if you're already an evangelist, preacher, teacher, if you're already out there doing the work of God, then I want to encourage you to continue. Don't give up now. Don't stop in well-doing, but continue doing what God has called you to do. For the field is ripe, already to harvest, but the Bible says the laborers are few. And so if you are one of the few laborers that are out there, that you are out there laboring for God, I want to encourage you to continue, because God truly has a purpose and a plan for your life. Our closing scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing remarks are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, do you have big dreams? Do you have things in your heart that you've always wanted to do for God, I want to encourage you to do it right now. I want to encourage you to not get discouraged, not turn back, but continue doing what you're doing. Allow God to come into your life and to change it and to transform it, and continue doing great things for God. If you are one that is trying to decide about truly committing your life to Jesus, this is the moment to do it. Just pray this prayer with me and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask him to change you. Ask him to transform you. Don't wait until tomorrow, dear friend, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. But if you sincerely want to change your life, do it right now. I want to encourage you, dear friend, put your trust in the Lord, because God truly cares about you. And there is nothing that you're going through that God does not understand. There's nothing that you're facing that God does not already see. Faith truly is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And dear friend, if you've never had faith before, this is the moment in your life to believe God. Believe God. What he has spoken over your life, he is surely going to bring to pass. The blessings that he has promised, he is surely going to bring to pass. But believe this and know this, that if you will truly obey the voice of God, if you will truly surrender your life totally to God, that God is going to change many, many things in your life. And the things that you most feared, God is going to change that. And you will not have any reason to fear anymore, because God is going to bless you. He is going to help you. And he is going to give you the strength that you need to face a bright future. Yes, I said it, a bright future, because with Jesus Christ, our future is a bright one. Look up with eyes of expectation and know this, that God is already blessing you right now. Dear friend, bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you tonight because you have truly blessed us already. I thank you tonight, Lord God, for the many that you are blessing, the many that will listen to this broadcast, oh Lord. I thank you for the many that will share this with their family and their friends. And I thank you right now that truly our life has purpose. And Lord God, this year, we will not waste time. This year, we will do what you're calling us to do. This year, oh God, we will get up and go out. We will go into the highways and the byways. We will go out and win as many as we can. This year, God, we will stop holding our tongue, but we will begin to proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ. We will begin to proclaim to as many as will listen that Jesus is coming soon and very soon. We will begin to proclaim, dear Lord, oh, that those who have not come in to the fold, that it's time for them to repent. It is time for them to change their lives. Dear Lord, I pray for that one that is praying with me right now, that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, this is their season to be blessed. I thank you right now, God, for healing. Oh God, I thank you for remembering me. I thank you for remembering others, oh God. Father God, that might be under the weather, I pray that you would touch them right now, from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. I pray, oh God, for those in Africa, in Europe, in Central America, in Asia, in the East Indies, in India. Oh God, I pray for those in the Caribbean, those are all the way up at the North Pole, those all the way down in the South Pole, oh God, those in the Western Hemisphere, in the Eastern Hemisphere. Father, wherever they are, in the North, South, East, and West, God, I pray for them right now that you would bless them. I pray that you will heal all those that are sick, those that are afflicted with all types of illnesses right now. Oh, Father, oh, God, I pray that you would touch in the name of Jesus. We pray for those afflicted with arthritis. Oh, God, those afflicted, oh, God, with all types of pain in their upper and lower back, and Father, oh God, knee injuries right now. I pray that you would restore, God, ligaments and different things in the kneecap right now. I know that you're able to restore in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for your healing balm of Gilead. Oh God, touching right now, moving and transforming right now. We thank you, Lord God, that you truly love us. You truly care about us. I thank you, Lord, that you have never left us nor forsake us. I thank you, dear Lord, that you are blessing even now. Oh God, that you are anointing even now. Oh God, that one that is being anointed right now, that one that is being delivered right now. Oh, God, I thank you for your touch right now. Father God, you're renewing someone right now. You're refreshing someone right now. Oh, God, and I just thank you for your touch in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we cannot make it without you. Oh, we cannot do anything without you. And I thank you right now. Touch right now. Move in a special way. Oh, God, you know the needs of your people, Lord God. I don't know the needs of your people, but, God, you know every prayer request. You know every mother and every father that's praying right now. Oh, God, you know every friend that's praying right now, every aunt and every uncle and grandmother and grandfather. Oh, God, you know every son and daughter that's praying right now. Oh, God, we know that you're able, oh, God, to touch. We know that you're able to move in a special way. Oh, God, remember your people right now. Oh, touch right now. Oh, God, from the rising of the sun to the going of the same. Oh, God, we bless you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor right now. You are righteous and you are holy. Oh, we bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you, God, for your anointing right now. I thank you for your touch right now. I thank you that you're moving a special way right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, you're breaking strongholds right now. You're delivering those that are bound in the name of Jesus. We bless you right now. We honor you right now. Oh, we give you glory. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. Oh, we bless your name right now. Oh, author and finisher of our faith, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star, we bless you right now. We honor you. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we're taking a praise break right now, God, blessing you, for you deserve all the praise. You deserve all the glory. Oh, if we had, oh, God, 1,000 tongues, we could not praise you enough. We could not bless you enough, but we praise you coming in, and we praise you going out. Oh, God, I thank you for that one right now. Oh, God, that is listening right now. Oh, God, that was depressed. Oh, God, but you're loosing, oh God, that band of depression right now off of them. Oh God, I thank you right now. Oh, God, for that one that's answering the call to ministry. Oh, God, I thank you right now. Oh, God, tears coming down their eyes right now, answering the call to ministry right now. Oh, God, to minister to those that are wounded and those that are hurt. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, that one that is hurting right now, that you're healing their heart right now. Oh, God, I thank you for one that is sick, that is recovering right now from their sickness. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Sato Koseketa Rorobosa. Masato Rorobosheke Rorobosa. Loose right now in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go free. I thank you right now. I thank you right now, Jesus, for your touch. I thank you right now for your anointing, oh God. Father, oh God, whoever hears this message, I pray that they will be anointed right now, that they will be touched right now. And I thank you for blessing your people, for blessing your people. We pray for those that are being persecuted around the world. Oh, God, that you'll remember them. Remember those that are in the underground churches, God, having to worship in secret. Bless them. Give them special strength, oh God. And Father, we thank you for restoration of families, oh God. Ah, Sato Koseke Tababoshe. Masato Rororoboshike Rorobosha. Restoring families right now. You're blessing right now. You're moving right now. Oh, Sato Koseke Ta. Oh, we give you honor. We give you glory. Oh, majesty, dominion, and power belonging unto you. Masato Koseke Ta. Oh, Seke Tosata. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We honor you, God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We bless your name, Jesus. Loose right now. Oh, we give you glory, honor, and praise, oh God. And we say thanks to you. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Amen. Dear friend, I just love the Lord with all my heart and all my soul. You know, it is such a privilege for me to serve God. and I count it a privilege to be able to study with you. And I pray that you will continue to seek the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, and that you will remember how much he loves you and how much he cares about your family. And I want you to always remember that your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. Never be discouraged to the point where you forget that your life has purpose. And in this season, dear friend, God is calling for those who will not give up, but for those who will hold on. Hold on, dear friend, and be encouraged, because God loves you very, very much. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God is still God, and he is truly good to us? He truly is there to help us in every way. And I want you to just continue to trust him. And as we sign off tonight, I want to encourage you to just hold on just a little while longer, because truly it was his blood that was shed on Calvary for you and for me.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
God bless you, friend, as I sign off tonight. You've been studying with Evangelist Faith Reed, and we are going to sign off with Second Chance, To Bless, To Be Stressed. God bless you. This is your season to be blessed, and I pray that the peace of God will be with you and your family.
Ah! Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a running out of the blessings are running back. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm tossing out the cup around over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the free. Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, they tell me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny and food in a Dutch pot. And from the news, the devil can't touch that. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Sing it out, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Oh, yeah, I tell them I'm blessed. We know how to get him out. Bleed the blood of Jesus Christ out of your mouth. And they want Satan him to get out. Just on your knowledge, no life in the darkness. And your life is filled with happiness. I from the nose, the devil can't touch this. Everybody come sing this. Say I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Say I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed.
And I lay my head.